concerned. If you look more into the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, we'll begin here in the 19th verse. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people. The children of the people, that's kind of a strange statement. Just go tell the people, not the children of the people. Seems to indicate all of them from the little one to the big one. Tell them all. Whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, they're coming in and out of the holy city. The city that's set aside by God to be holy. Place of refuge, great walls, center of its temple, to worship. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, this is what he wants to tell them. Take heed to yourselves. That's good advice, isn't it? Judge yourselves. Try the Spirit. We're supposed to come and worship in Spirit as well as truth. But in the Spirit, take heed to yourself, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem into the holy place. Don't pollute this. Need to carry forth the burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day. Do ye any work? Hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. Go tell the children of the people, all the way from then up to now, all offspring of Israel. Tell them all. Some weeks back, in cross-referencing something, I come across a scripture again I read. And I thought at the time, I jotted it down on my notepad there and went back to it. And I thought some of the wording here, as well as the people, the children of the people. And he talks about the burden on the Sabbath day. Then he says, do any work. So he must be talking about two things here. We think about it most of the time as working on the Sabbath day. No, I think it's far more than that. Don't carry any burden. Especially on the Sabbath. That's the big thing. Before you come to worship. Stand in the house of God and worship Him in the spirit of worship. If we can't lay those things down when we come to His house, how in the world are we truly going to worship? So I think there's a great line drawn here between the difference of the burden and the work. Do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their necks stiff, that they might not hear, nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto thee, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein. Then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots on horses, and they and their princes and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem in this city shall remain forever. So there must be a worship that is without a burden. First place, it ought not be burdensome to you.
Right.
That's a little different sense, doesn't it? But it ought not be burdensome for people to worship. Mm-hmm. Now, I thought about these things. I thought about how many people that are worshiping what they call worship. And it is a burden to them. They can't hardly lay it down to go worship.
Right.
And then when they do worship, it's not in spirit. It's mostly in the flesh, what I see. And then when we think about it in a different term, of how many people that don't bother to try to worship at all,
oh, yeah,
that have convinced themselves that there is no God.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't bother them.
Right.
And then again, on the other hand, that people that do worship, a lot of them are worshiping out of fear, a certain kind of fear, a dread, knowing the judgment of God. They have a problem with it. So they go because their conscience is hurt them. They go and go through motion of worship. Book of Isaiah, the first chapter. I guess verse 12. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye speak, as spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. In verse 16, he said, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes, cease to do evil. Well, they've been meeting, hadn't they? Calling solemn assembly, going through all the motions of all the things, all the worshiping they were trying to do, and yet the Lord was displeased with it, because the worship wasn't in the heart, it was in the hands. And I think I'm right in that most of worship today is that. It's not worship at all. They call it praise and worship, and then when you look at it, they had an ideal good time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They even started a cowboy church, you know.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, it's the same image. You've got to bring in a little play. You can't just have a solemn assembly and worship from the heart, because your heart's not right. There's no spirit there. If there's no spirit there, it cannot worship spirit. They're not compatible.
Right.
It must be a spiritual worship. In the 58th chapter of Isaiah, I guess 3, wherefore have we fasted, save they hear now see us not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. You know, store that word, that's the burden. That's the burden he's talking about. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? Is that what you're trying to do? Is this what you're doing, what you think? This where your heart's at? Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness? Isn't this what I ask you to do?
Yes.
To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Take away the burden. Don't bring the burden in. Get rid of it. Judge yourself. Clean yourself up. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth. It will truly be worship.
Right.
If it's done in the right spirit. If when you come into the house of the Lord, it's in the right spirit. We come up listening to a Methodist preacher a whole lot every other Sunday. And, you know, when I think back on that, I don't have nearly as much problem with him as I do now. But they have become a purely a social club. And that's what most of them are. And it's a step to getting further ahead in this world for the most part. It's like the Masons. I'll probably get in trouble here, all that, for sure, but it's kind of like the Masons. It's like, well, you know, we got our little clique going, and that's the way they are, the Methodist Church especially, because I know more about them, I can talk about them, I think. They have their own little clique. It isn't worship at all. They have no earthly idea of what worship is. I got a little clique going. But got to worship in spirit. In Ezekiel, the 20th chapter.
What? Did you say?
Ezekiel 20. Verse 10, wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgment. If a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. So why in the world do we call the solemn assembly to begin? So that he might sanctify the people. The Sabbath was for man. We come that we might learn of the Spirit. And we are sanctified that we might worship in the Spirit. A peculiar people.
Yeah.
One that the Lord has taught.
Right.
In His house. Come up to the temple. And do what? Worship. And be sanctified.
Yeah.
If you're not in the house of the Lord, how in the world are you going to be sanctified? You got to be taught to be sanctified, taught of the Spirit, to lay down the burden when you come in. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgment. Which if a man do, he shall even live in them, in the Spirit. And my Sabbaths, they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose life I brought them out. What would be polluted? The Sabbath. It's so polluted today we can hardly recognize it.
Oh, yeah.
Everything in the world is going on besides worship. And yet I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all the lands, because they despised my judgment and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths for their hearts. You can underscore that word, their hearts, when after their eyes. That was their burden. They brought their idols in, threw all the furniture of the temple out, and brought their idols in and set them up in the temple, and began to worship them in the flesh. Back in the second chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 1, it said, the word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his way, sanctify. And we will walk in the path, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Then he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall bear their swords, beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord and worship Him.
I read in Nehemiah the other day how that he commanded them not to be weak in the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? Be joyful in the Lord. For the joy of the Lord, he says, is your strength.
Right.
So, lay your burdens aside and come worship God.
Yeah.
Don't do anything. Lay your work aside.
Yeah.
You got 6 days to work, but of course most people don't work for 5 anymore if they work as much as they get them to work at all. But anyway, good admonition. Sometimes the way you do things is more important than what you say, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that day I was thinking about that this week. I was thinking about Papa Moss. And when we were kids, I always thought it was strange because when you recall, I can never remember hearing him pray a custom prayer.
Yeah.
If they called upon him in the church services, he always would say, "Please have me excused." Mm-hmm. He never prayed a custom prayer. And yet, I don't know, but if a more godly man, I don't know. He certainly gave of himself to relieve the burden of other men and died a pauper. No longer owned his own house, and Aunt Oakham put up most of the money, I guess, to build that house. What did I know? I don't know. Did they even get up and Mom and I didn't have a bank account?
They did, but it wasn't much
there. It wasn't much then if they did. But he was a man that was a commissioner of the Houston County and had a gin business that evidently at one time was a pretty good business.
I got
all the records of it.
Yeah, and I looked through there at the people that never did say it.
I know.
Just bunches of them.
Yeah. Fed every one of them that come to, to come to the gym, I guess, there. And did other things too, without a doubt. Sometimes I regret not knowing more about his life and his mom and office. But anyway. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The Father seek it, friends. Anyway, good thoughts again this morning. So much thankful for them. And something else I was thinking about the other day, sometimes you wonder, well, are we really good? Any good? Are we really, what are we accomplishing anything. But one of the things that encourages me is simply that it seems like the Holy Ghost does come. The Spirit of God does come. Every Lord is that.
Mm-hmm.
And we do. We do worship. And I believe that it is acceptable to our God.
Amen.
And He teaches us. I believe He opens up Scripture to us that I don't hear anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's not just one. It comes from it all. And so I'm encouraged by that.
He's put it in our hearts to come here every Lord's Day. And it honors Him. And He commands us to honor Him because He is due that honor.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's a delight to do it.
Yeah.
And that's why the Scripture says, call the Sabbath a delight.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. So, we do worship Him, and we realize, again, I think all of us realize that it's so far from what it will be when we have put on this incorruption, or this corruption is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality. But yet, it still is pleasing to our God, our Father, our Lord, our Savior, because it does come from the heart.